Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-439-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-439-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-439-MYTV. That's 1-877-439-MYTV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call 877-439-MYTV. That's 1-877-439-MYTV.
This is Business Rockstar.
On the show Shark Tank, you see the edited version of most pitches. Robert Hershevek takes us inside that process.
We film, on average, the pitches in front of us for over an hour. The longest pitch was 2.5 hours. The shortest was 40 minutes. It all gets edited into 7 to 8 minutes. We make up our mind 50% of the time in the first 2 minutes. It's how you stand, the cadence of your voice, how you walk out, all of those things. I want to invest in somebody who's confident without being arrogant.
So how do you get major investor attention to build your brand? Joining us today is Lisa Su, founder of The Winning Pitch. It's great to have you on.
Hey, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful. So share with us a little bit about what does the process of creating a winning pitch look like?
You know, to me, I think having a really winning pitch that's going to get an investor on your side, it's really about preparation and practice. I think it's about doing your homework. I think it's about knowing who you're pitching, making sure that whoever you're pitching is someone who invests in your industry, invests the amount of money that you're looking to get into your company, and someone whose portfolio makes sense with your company. I can't tell you how many times I hear from investors that they have someone in front of them and it turns out it's not a good match. They don't invest in that kind of a company. They don't invest that amount of money. Like maybe they're a VC and the person's looking for seed funding, so it doesn't make any sense. Or they have a competitor that's sitting there right square in their portfolio, so of course they're not going to invest. So I think that's number one. I think once you get in front of a good investor, it's of course knowing your own company inside out, knowing all your numbers, knowing who you're marketing to, knowing what you're doing on that side and how you're going to grow your business. But it's also about making a coherent statement about what you do.
Do you have a process for that, like an elevator pitch process?
You know, I always recommend that people have an elevator pitch and that within their longer pitch that they have what I call the pitch within a pitch so that they make some coherent statement at the very top of their pitch, which will give context to the rest of what they say. Because, you know, I've sat through people's pitch and sometimes you'll be 15 minutes in and you're like, I have no idea what this person is talking about.
A 15-minute pitch, wow.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I can't tell you how often you'll get to the end of a pitch and an investor will be like, I just don't know what you do. And that's terrible in so many ways.
Yeah.
First of all, because then you're like, well, how do I now explain it to this person? But it also, from the investor side, the investor doesn't know how to give good feedback to that person. They don't know how to make a suggestion to that person. They don't know who to connect that person to. So I think that's a big issue for a lot of people and something I always suggest to make that pitch within a pitch very early in whatever you're saying.
Is there a duration that you would say, like, you know, don't go over 60 seconds?
For an elevator pitch?
I know it's typically 15 seconds for an elevator pitch, maybe 30. Everyone's going to say something slightly different. What's yours?
I say 30, okay, within the context of a longer pitch.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we're all ADD these days.
Yeah.
And what you don't want to have is you don't want that VC or investor to start getting antsy
pulling out their phone and
texting.
Their phone. I've seen that before.
Oh, yes, it definitely happens. I mean, these are busy people, so they're like, if they don't feel comfortable within a few minutes, they're like, their attention span is just gone.
Is there a process that you can share that's sort of like a template for the best way to create an elevator pitch?
I'm a big fan of keeping it short and simple and saying what you do, who you do it for, and what they get out of it. That's something that I think is really helpful for anyone. Whenever you're in any kind of elevator pitch situation, if you're at a cocktail party, I do this for these people and this is why they like it. Or if you're even in an elevator, you have that 10 seconds with the person, go for it.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Joining me today is Lisa Su, founder of The Winning Pitch. I know that you say that Shark Tank isn't really the type of environment that is a real pitch environment. So could you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, you know, I think of Shark Tank as kind of like the Dancing with the Stars of pitching.
Yeah.
You know, I love Dancing with the Stars too, but is it a real dance competition? Not really.
Yeah.
I do like Shark Tank in that it gets all these issues out there. You start to get an idea of what a pitch is, of questions that an investor may ask, but is it a real pitch environment? Not really.
So what is a real pitch environment versus Shark Tank? Because I think a lot of people, maybe a lot of people tuned in right now, this is like, what? Like, you just ruined the show. You pulled the curtain back. They thought that that was real pitching. So what is a real pitch environment?
I think a real pitch environment oftentimes is you have some kind of warm intro to an investor. So they have maybe a little bit of a sense of who you are. Hopefully you've been developing a relationship with that investor over a period of time. A lot of VCs that I think are very good would say that they invest in lines, not dots. So they want to see your progress over a period of time as opposed to you're just here at this moment on the graph. They want to see, okay, so 6 months ago you said you were going to take on 3 top salespeople and you were going to hit this point in revenue. Hey, 6 months later, did you do that? If you did that, oh, that's a good sign. I think you're starting to get onto something. Your strategy might be good, or you have a good user acquisition plan. Oh, and you say at this point, now that you've hit that point in revenue, you're going to start expanding in this way. Oh, you know, 6 months later, I see you expand in this way. That's what I would consider a good line.
Okay.
That an investor will be like, oh, maybe it's starting to be worth my time to start having more extended conversations with you.
So how can a company or an entrepreneur know when is the right time to go after an investor?
It's going to be different for everyone, certainly. But I think a good time for people to start thinking about looking for an investor, I think of an investor, or specifically a venture capitalist, as kind of the rocket fuel on your growth. Have you gotten to a point where you need that rocket fuel on your growth? That's the time to really start thinking about it. Hopefully it's not when you're about to miss your payroll in a couple weeks.
That's not the right time. Yeah.
I do encourage people to start thinking, oh, 6 months from now, I think we're going to hit that point. We should start thinking about this. Who are the people that we can get on their radar as someone who's a good prospect for investment?
So when does a company know they should raise money? For example, we've got some traction, we've got a proven model, we just need to pour gas on the fire and raise some money. What's some other examples of where somebody could say, like, hey, when you're in this situation, you should look for investors? I think a lot of times I hear people looking for money when there's really no need for the money. Maybe they just want to get money because it sounds fun or everybody's doing it.
I think there are a few different times that are really good. One when it makes strategic sense. Can you develop a relationship with an investor who has the connections in the industry to take you further along? Also, when there's a synergistic match within their portfolio, that's a good time to start thinking about it. Hey, we're getting to a point, maybe our widget over here and your widget that's in your portfolio over here, maybe they'd be a good match and make more sense. That's a good time to think about these kinds of things. And that's also a good way to think about investors as well. You know, maybe your Uncle Dan, who has made a couple $1 million doing oral surgery as a dentist, can give you the money, but is Uncle Dan going to really help you along your way?
As a strategic partner,
maybe not so much. Although if you're missing payroll, you know, hey, we all got to do what we got to do.
Well, we could go on for days about these tips. They've been extremely valuable. Thank you for coming on our show.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
I appreciate it.
I enjoyed it.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
I'm Darren Cavanocchi with free startup legal advice. Tim in Miami asks, are there any situations where verbal agreements are suitable, or must everything be documented in writing when starting a business? Great question, Tim. Best practice is certainly to reduce things to a writing. Make it crystal clear about who is supposed to do what by when and what happens if they screw up. That being said, keep in mind that oral agreements are still perfectly enforceable, but there are certain exceptions, certain kinds of contracts that must be reduced to a writing. There are certain popular categories, including those contracts that can't be fully performed within 1 year, contracts that apply to the transfer of an interest in land, the sale of goods of $500 or more, or answering for somebody else's debt. So, be careful about what you say and what you do, because it could obligate you by way of a legally binding contract.
Next on Business Rockstars. I mean, don't fear failure. Tests are wonderful. They are your lessons. What you're trying to do is do multiple tests and shorten them, and don't spend a lot of capital, and then learn from them. So don't fear failure at all. And always try to be calm and collective. Never be anxious, unsettled. If you are anxious, unsettled, and stressed, go take a nap. When you wake up, you'll be, wow, I'm more clear-headed, and you can make a much more exact decision that's going to help your company. And I think the best thing is there is a way out of every situation. So if you don't see it today, don't execute on a decision. Wait. Like, nothing's ever going to happen. Like, you think, if I don't act today, something bad's going to happen, but the longer you wait, the better the result, almost always.
NASDAQ Private Market has a set of tools and solutions that really help private companies manage their equity from startup all the way through to an IPO.
Well, there's a lot of companies who say, I want to be private longer. I want to fully develop my business model.
So for success for me at MPM is that an entrepreneur will say, I finally have a choice and I can determine the timing instead of having external forces determine it for me.
We try to bring the benefits of the public markets to private companies. So companies go public for three main reasons: access to capital, access to liquidity, and increasing their brand and visibility amongst both investors as well as customers.
Tango's structured liquidity program is probably one of the most important initiatives that we currently have. The feedback from the employees was phenomenal. On the process side, they really helped us. And we want to do it again and again and again with NASDAQ, because that much of a success.
Starting a business can be tough, but getting the word out about your business through a great website can be even tougher. That's why you need spotonwebsite.com. At spotonwebsite.com, you can register your company's domain name and even build your website overnight. It's fast, easy, and most of all, it's sure to fit your budget. Spotonwebsite.com has a wide range of internet products and solutions to make the most of your website, even on a small business budget. Log on today and see for yourself at spotonwebsite.com.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I need to get a grip on my company's spending.
Staples has low prices every day.
So I won't overspend?
Nope. With our price match guarantee, you can always get the lowest price on everything for your office.
Everything?
Everything.
The lowest prices on ink, paper, coffee, ink, folders, notepads, ink, sticky notes, ink, trash pads, ink, binders, and ink?
Need some ink?
A little bit, yeah.
Trust Staples for low prices every day. Staples. Make more happen.
Price match good at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. See store or staples.com for details.
Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is you can get past this, but you must act right now. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now.
800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. That number again is 800-708-7922.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
This is Business Rockstar.
Hi, I'm Mark Lack, CEO of Shorten the Gap, inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. How can failures become the foundation to your success? I'm here with Jeffrey McIntosh, CEO and founder of T-Book. And like so many entrepreneurs, right, the level of success they have is in direct proportion to the failures that they've learned from. And so I know you have a really interesting story. Why don't you share with us, what have some of the failures been that you've learned from that have really put you on the path to the success that you have now?
Absolutely, Mark, and it's great to be on the show. I think that it's better to look at failures more as lessons rather than saying, oh, a failure or feel them, because there's so much we can learn from them. So I always tell people you want to fail fast, you want to try out new things, you want to test, you want to build something great. And I think even in life, it can start that way. That was kind of how I started to be an entrepreneur, was a series of failed events or my businesses didn't go through, or my college wasn't working right. I went to college when I was very young. I was about 16 years old. I was working in a very high-end restaurant, very self-destructive lifestyle. I was doing like full-time school, double majoring, and it just got to the point where I couldn't bear it anymore. And that's when I first found tea. And when I first sat down and I enjoyed a cup of loose leaf tea, it wasn't just, you know, some tea bag or blended stuff that is all the rage now. It was pure loose leaf tea. And it gave me that moment that just said, like, what am I doing? Like, this is what I want to be doing for the rest of my life. And I wasn't doing well in college. The work was bearing me down. So I said, I'll quit my college. I'll quit my high-paying job, and I'll do this for free. And I didn't have a direction. And I realized, well, I have nothing to lose, especially at a young age when we have so much more that we can risk and have a higher reward. Just go for it. Just try to test as much as possible. I'll try to do this. I'll try to apprentice. But try to learn and try to fail fast and test and build something bigger.
Something I think is so cool about you is you're 26 years old and you're fluent in Chinese, one of the hardest languages to learn. And even cooler than that, you go back and forth between the U.S. and China multiple times throughout the year. Tell us a little bit more about T-Book and this loose leaf tea that I had before we got on camera here, which is incredible, by the way. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what you do when you go to China and how did you end up creating T-Book and finding this incredible tea?
Sure. So it all started in that little tea shop. I had that taste and then I was invited to go to China. At that time, I couldn't speak any Chinese at all. Like, I was this young kid. I went to China. I was like, ooh, I go to China. This is a crazy culture. And immediately I got hit with culture shock. So I was only supposed to be there 2 weeks. It ended up being 6 months. There was no communication with other Americans. I never spoke English.
How did it go from 2 weeks to 6 months?
So I was supposed to go visit some tea mountains over there, which was
life-changing. What's a tea mountain?
So a tea mountain is in southwest Yunnan. They're very large mountains where the entire mountain agriculture thing is just tea. They're just producing tea.
Wow.
So there's a massive market down there. So we went to go visit these old trees. Some of these trees can live up to easily over 1,000 years.
1,000 years.
Yeah. And the oldest living tea tree is in Fengqing. It's 3,200 years old.
Wow.
You have to get 4 to 5 people to kind of hug around it. So we went to these tea trees. We went back to the main city of Kunming in southwest China in Yunnan. And I met a tea master, Luo Wanyu of Dinong Tea Company.
What's a tea master?
So a tea master is someone who's in, it's a very foreign concept, right? Yeah. But someone who's been studying tea preferably their whole life. They have a tremendous amount of experience of agricultural processing, fermentation, storage. So it goes a little bit beyond what we would know in a tea bag, right? We're dealing with something that's very tangible, very similar.
So not a Starbucks barista.
Yeah, no, a little bit farther than that. Okay. But very tangible to like high-end wine. And so I went to go meet her, and she said, wow, this is strange. An American person likes tea. They use like a little teapot, Gaiwan. Come work for me. At this point, she can't speak English. I can't speak Chinese. So I said, what do I have to lose?
I'll Perfect do it. Relationship,
yeah.
right?
So I was like, I got $500 in my back pocket. I'll just do it. I'll stay here. And that turned into like 6 months later. And what I did was I really pushed myself. I made myself not talk to people in English-speaking language, always in Chinese. I had developed my own kind of opinion until I could speak enough, and then moved from there. And I actually ended up in Chinese prison. Which was a really, really like wake-up call for me because of an overstayed visa, and I was also importing, exporting tea, very high-end tea. But when I got in that position, I was like, oh, wow, I'm in a really bad spot. I don't know where I'm going to be going. I can either take advantage of this situation. So I said, well, all these people are from the local area, so I can learn more about the local dialect. So I can understand the language in that part of China more easily than the typical Mandarin. And then I learned a little bit more about Chinese business. I built some relations. And then I left, and I just took that to the next level of speaking Chinese and doing business and then kind of opening my first company.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars here with Jeffrey McIntosh, CEO and founder of TeaBook. And we're talking about how he goes to China every so often throughout the year to study tea and use the best high-quality tea for his drinks, as well as how you ended up in jail. So go a little bit deeper on the story of how you ended up in jail.
Sure. It was a number of events. I kind of overstayed my visa by a ridiculous amount, by a number of months, and I was importing, exporting tea. And so the first time they came, they said, well, there's this issue. We can get you a new visa. But then the next day, I was kind of carted off to...
How long were you in the jail?
I was over there about a little over 2 weeks.
Wow. Did you actually speak Chinese by then?
At that time, it was really bad.
Okay.
But I remember I went in there, and I was the only foreigner to go into prison there. And they treated me really nice. They wanted to be my friends.
Wow.
It was strange. But I also was able to learn the local dialect a little bit better and learned interaction more. And it was just in such a closed environment where I felt like I had no way out. I didn't know when I was going to leave. And it was just, I have to overcome this feeling. And so how can I make the best of it? And I'm a really strong believer of no matter where you are, there is a way out of every situation. And you can learn and take something away from it, which we did. I got bailed out by one of my people I know very well, and then I started doing business with them later on, which became great success. So I learned about Chinese culture and the language.
What has been one of the best lessons that you've learned from being in the completely different culture over in China?
Well, I think it's best never to look at something as right and wrong, right? When I first went to China, it was a new experience. I didn't speak the language or the culture. I started to judge things. I said, this is wrong. I don't like this. These things in China are weird. But when you go somewhere and do, even in business, you take away your personal thoughts. There is no right and wrong. There just is, right? So however their culture is, it's perfect for how it is, and become like them, like become Chinese, become the culture. And you'll notice it's easier, because life is always gray, right? There's no right, there's no wrong.
It's relative.
It's all relative, right? We have our own opinions, so just go in and be like water.
So for people who are tuning in right now, entrepreneurs especially, who need to have high levels of energy, I know that green tea and tea in general can be a great source for energy. What do you say to the people that are primarily coffee drinkers that kind of have X-nayed tea as an option?
Sure, and I won't even tell coffee drinkers switch to tea. I'll say it's a different tool for a different time. Loose leaf tea has a lot of L-theanine, and you'll notice it's going to help relax your nervous system and give you alertness. So you're not going to be jittery like coffee. There's not going to be that crash.
See, I'm on both right now. I'm on coffee and this awesome tea. So
well, maybe this kind of sustain you out, right? May calm you down a little bit. But it gives you that moment of mindfulness. I really think that the process of making tea can really give you that calmness and centeredness you need to really focus.
What has that shift been as a young entrepreneur and on your journey to becoming successful? What have some of those lessons been like?
Because I think at a younger age, especially with millennials and there's so much access to information, we can easily get stubborn, right? We really think our idea is important. We get too passionate, too egotistical. Surround yourself with really, really smart people. And also try to put yourself in an incubator or co-working space and really put yourself and interact with those people. How can we work together? Always be thinking, if I'm not doing this business, can I do another business? Is there another way? Get out of I do this or I don't do this. Get out of that buy thinking process. Really say, what are all my options? And really start to open up a gray area. And then once I started the Founders Institute, I graduated that. It really put me in a perspective of revenue models and profits and making money and making sustained. And T-books are for scalable venture, and I think that's where I've had my most hardships and I've learned the most.
Some great lessons from a young business rock star and the Tea Master, Jeffrey McIntosh, CEO and founder of the T-Book. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Vegas or planning a trip soon, do something special. Now with Dream Cars Las Vegas, live like a rock star and cruise the strip in style. Dream Cars Las Vegas is number one for exotic and luxury car rentals. Drive an awesome quality exotic like a Rolls-Royce Ghost Bentley convertible, the James Bond Aston Martin Virage, Ferrari California, a McLaren, and more. Exotic luxury has never been so affordable. No one can touch our low rental prices and the best customer service in town. We offer complimentary shuttle, delivery and pickup, and no security deposit charges. Live your dream with Dream Cars Las Vegas. And mention Business Rockstars Radio for a special discount. Call today, 877-759-3732. That's 877-759-3732. Or visit DreamCarsLasVegas.com. 877-759-3732.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
This is Business Rockstar.
Hi, I'm Mark Lack, CEO of Shorten the Gap. Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm here with Jeffrey McIntosh, CEO and founder of T-Book. And something I love doing with any of the guests that come on the show is what we call our 60-second CEO. I'm going to fire off some rapid questions to
come
you.
Come on, let's
and
see what
all you're
going to
do is answer them. Ready?
Let's do it.
Here we go. All right, who's your favorite entrepreneur?
Elon Musk.
Favorite movie?
Ooh, I haven't seen a movie in a long time.
Okay, what's your biggest pet peeve?
People not being on time.
Coffee or tea?
Tea, come on, that's not a question.
First thing people notice about you?
I'm kind of crazy about tea.
What keeps you up at night?
Business.
First app you check on your phone in the morning?
I have a dumb phone, don't have a smartphone.
A dumb phone, flip phone?
Yep.
If you could go anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Southwest China, every time.
Last thing you do before bed?
Drink tea.
What superpower do you wish you had? Come on.
I know, it's a tough one. Be able to transport.
Okay, that's a good one. Describe yourself in one word.
Tea.
I don't even know if that makes any sense. We'll go transition straight into that. How does tea describe yourself in one word as a person?
Sure. I just think that, one, it started to represent more than just a beverage. It was like, oh, wow, there's a tremendous amount of history and culture. And when you drink tea, there's a certain amount of knowledge that can come with it. Oh, I need to prepare it correctly. And you can tell a lot about an individual by how they prepare tea, right? If they're really haphazardly.
I didn't know that. Wow. Okay.
Right? You haphazardly throw it all over the place. You can tell someone's not really caring. And in China, even more so, because it's a cultural, historical item. So they should cherish it. And if they cherish it and prepare it correctly and it tastes good, then you know they're probably treating their business and family the same way. So the way people prepare tea, I can learn a lot from them. So I try to make sure that I'm always being very careful with what I'm brewing and how I interact with tea. And so,
something we talked about that I thought was pretty interesting was you said it's more than just having another beverage and drinking tea, but you said your company T-Book is actually more about creating a lifestyle. So could you go a little bit more into what do you mean by creating a lifestyle around tea?
Sure, and this is a great point because this is going beyond, you know, a startup making money. This is going to a broader picture. And when you're starting a company, what's really your end goal? Is it just like, let's sell a bunch of product, make a bunch of money and sell it? Or do you want to build something bigger? And that's what we're really trying to do here. So right now, there's so much kind of noise and there's so much growth in especially loose leaf teas. It's massive. It's 25% growth. So everyone's trying to get in.
What's the industry as a whole, by the way? Like a couple billion?
It's over 12 billion.
Okay.
And it's going to rapidly get to 22 billion.
Okay.
So, but that's really looking at it in terms of a beverage, like ready to drink, like exactly what you're doing. You just drink it, you forget about it. But in China, you sit down, you drink tea, they have gaiwans, they have teapots, they have high-end tea, they have historical tea. They can get thousands of dollars. But they're interacting with, I go to your house, you have a tea table, let's sit down, we'll talk business. And tea is it facilitates good conversation. So we're trying to get to the point where it's not just, oh, another kombucha, another soda pop. It's like you go and you sit down, you have a business meeting over tea. You go in the morning, you meet your friend. You wake up, you want to drink tea. So incorporating in all aspects, because that industry is a $100 billion industry. But it's a higher risk because it's a new behavior. So how can you teach your customers about a new behavior? That's a huge hurdle point. And the best way to do that is to find out what you want to teach them and take away all the friction points. So even with tea, like how is there friction with the consumer? Tea to water ratio. How long the tea is steeped and how long do I leave the tea in there, right? So, and the water temperature.
And how much loose leaf to put in there, which is what you were sharing with me earlier.
Exactly. So I said, well, it's going to be, so let's take away all these friction points. Let's pre-portion all the tea. Let's put the temperature on the bottle. Let's make it so they don't have to take the leaves out of the water and it's all ready to go. Just add water. So that way they can experience the product without too many new obstacles. And I think that broader vision's really important, and that's what we're focusing on. Because it's not just T-Book, right? 90-80% of our consumers in the long run will have this ready to go, easy to drink. But 10% of those consumers will start to say, how can I convert them to something higher? So they will start to say, what's better tea? And maybe they're going to want to buy that $200 tea cake or they want to buy that $150 teapot, right?
There's always somebody out there.
There's always someone out there. But so you don't just want to say, what's the end goal? I want to sell this product. But after that, how can I convert those products to an upsell, right, and to a higher experience that can benefit them?
To serve them in a greater way, right?
In a greater way, right? And I think always focus on quality and going to the next step.
Some great tips. And something I want to correlate, we're talking about, you know, lifestyle and culture and related to tea, which is something that, you know, your company is all about. How does that relate into your business? How do you create lifestyle and culture for your team, for your company? And how does that translate out into the success of your company? Because I know culture is such a huge thing. You hear, like, you know, Tony Hsieh from Zappos, culture, right?
Sure.
So how do you create culture and lifestyle in your company
I think a lot of it happens on the China side, because luckily in this day and age we have so much access technology that we can work in really small teams. Believe it or not, T-Book's like operating with three people on the American side. But what really happens is with my relationships in China, since business is so different, you want to treat them with mutual respect. So I'm very, very close with my Chinese partners. I'm communicating with them every day because they're a whole supply chain. So bringing that culture of understanding their whole environment, doing business the way they do, and then bringing it over and educating my consumers. Everyone in my company, they're drinking tea, right? They love tea. They like the product. That's the first thing. Everyone should love the product you're selling. And make sure people are happy, mutual respect. Don't be so degrading. Really allow your – give your employees the tools they need, and then allow them to fail. And then when you start to notice them fail, find an advisor. Find someone who's really good at social media and say, hey, I'm going to set you up with a 30-minute meeting. And that's all it could take for your intern to go from not knowing about social media to bringing thousands of followers. So I think the giving the tools to the interns, really believing in your employees and introducing them to great people will change the whole structure of your business.
I think we can both agree that failure is something that's a stepping stone to success. And also, to go on top of that, another thing that really attributes to people's success is their habits. And the obvious habit for you, you've mentioned it a few times, is drinking tea throughout the day, in the morning, at night. But what are some other habits that you have that really attribute to your success outside of just drinking tea? And that sounds silly for some people, that drinking tea attributes to your success. But what are some other habits that you have that really are, you know, the result of your success?
I think this is a great question. I think it goes to a number of personal levels and business levels. Like, it's really important what you do in your personal life and how you, like, even respect your family and respect your friends. And you really want to surround yourself with people that are really mutually beneficial. So I've had a lot of breaks apart of companies. I've done investment. There's been fallings out. And I've lost, like, all my friends. And I realized, who are my real friends? Who are the people that are always there to support me? Mm. And those are the only people that you should be surrounding with, especially if you're an entrepreneur. Because you're already going on an insane, like, I'm going to go be an entrepreneur and work 150 hours a week and get paid no money, and I'm not going to be able to see movies anymore. I'm going to have no time. So the people that you surround yourself should really be focused on your end goal, which is becoming a successful individual entrepreneur. And they shouldn't be so focused on minimal things. Like, let's go hang out and kick it. And a lot of those things don't benefit you as an entrepreneur. So always, every interaction, I don't want to be too business-oriented, but when you're hanging out with friends or going to dinner, you should have some kind of talk that could be mutually beneficial for both of you, for your success. So really be careful who your friends are. Pay attention and support your family as best you can, or at least respect them. And those kind of habits will start to, you'll understand, wow, when I have a meeting with someone I don't know, I start to mutually respect them. Because when you respect other people, they listen to you. And then you can start to move on from there. I've cut out a lot of addiction things like smartphones. Like, it's very, I do my email twice a day. And if you need to contact me, you have to send me a text message or a phone call. I'm not going to be on my phone 24/7. And I think that's helped because it allows me to sit down, relax, and think and drink tea and not be like business 24/7 and not being able to sleep. Because once that starts to pile up on you, you can't be focused anymore. And I always tell people, the longer you wait, the better the result. The moment you're anxious, unsettled, quick, that's when you fail. So you just want to be calm. The longer you wait, the better the result. It's going to be okay if you thoroughly think about what you're doing.
Some great tips, and I want to touch on that in just a minute. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. I'm here with Jeffrey McIntosh, CEO and founder of T-Book. We're talking about how important it is to surround yourself with the right people. And it reminds me of the old saying, you're the sum of the five people you surround yourself with most. So how important it is for you to make sure that you pick the right inner circle? Short and sweet, to the point, sure. How important is it?
So important. Started the company, I had like 25 advisors, went nowhere. Spent tons of money, failed. Then I decided, I found people that only had built $100 million companies, so validation with their work, not what they say, and then bring them on board, and I selected three advisors, and I have a sales advisor for product selling, I have a brand advisor, and I have someone that's focused on supporting my passion and quality. So these three advisors are my foundation, and I really pointed, they must have validation in their business and their life. You must like and support how they live their life and do their business, and then go to them for very specific key questions. Bullet-pointed emails, not tangents.
Let's talk about marketing for a minute. How do you market this?
It's
online, and maybe you're saying online, and one of the big things is you need to taste it and try it. So how do you overcome that in your marketing online?
It's difficult. Marketing online is difficult for a product like this that's so hands-on. Majority of our customers are word of mouth and conventions in person. Like, that's like 90% of our attraction. Now, in the next month or so, we're starting to go online. And the only way you can do that is to create really valuable content. High quality pictures, short videos. Don't do long videos anymore. Do minute videos, 45 second videos, 15 second Instagram videos. But they're beautiful, they're high quality, and all it is focused on is the beauty of tea. It's not focused on selling the product. And you're going to start to see us starting to brand in that way. And we're starting to see some conversions. But it's difficult with a product like this because it's so hands-on. But I say honest content.
What made you want to go with online? I think maybe some entrepreneurs listening right now would be like, that's the wrong strategy. The strategy is to be in person, allowing them to taste it and try it. Why online?
It's funny. It kind of is the wrong strategy, but it's working. We actually wanted to go towards retail, but you have to raise an incredible amount of money, and we didn't have validation. So we're going towards that direction of a retail. It has to happen. You have to have offline, online. You're seeing Amazon. You're seeing Nordstrom's. They're doing that more and more. How do you get
that? What gives you the belief? Because I would almost, to play devil's advocate with you, don't think that if you come up with the right strategy, you don't have to raise a lot of money. But what would you say to that? Why do you think you have to raise a lot of money?
Well, that's great. Well, we couldn't raise a lot of money, so now we're working on no money, and now we're doing fantastic, right?
Okay, all right.
So that failure helped us. And so once with a little bit of money, it made us start to think.
As we come to a wrap here, I want to know the three best tips you have for any entrepreneur tuning in right now. Because we're talking about tea,
sure.
So I wanted to just boil it down to the essence here. What are the three best tips that somebody can learn as an entrepreneur?
100% don't ever fail. I mean, don't fear failure. Tests are wonderful. They are your lessons. What you're trying to do is do multiple tests and shorten them and don't spend a lot of capital and then learn from them. So don't feel fear failure at all. And always try to be calm and collective. Never be anxious, unsettled. If you are anxious, unsettled, and stressed, go take a nap. When you wake up, you'll be, wow, I'm more clear-headed, and you can make a much more exact decision that's going to help your company. And I think the best thing is there is a way out of every situation. So if you don't see it today, don't execute on a decision. Wait. Like, nothing's ever going to happen. Like, you think, if I don't act today, something bad's going to happen. But the longer you wait, the better the result. Almost always.
Three great tips from Jeffrey McIntosh, CEO and founder of T-Book. Thanks so much for joining us,
absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely.
Something I wanted to add, too, is you have such a generous offer for our audience here. Share that with us real quick.
Sure, absolutely. So if you go on to tbook.co and you type in business rock stars, you can actually get 20% off any of our high-quality loose-leaf teas online or a tumbler, anything you want.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and on our website, businessrockstars.com.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Sometimes it's okay to be boring. Just kidding. No, it's not. This is Oren Claff with Pitch Anything, showing you how to close like the pros. What's missing from most presentations that I see? It's surprise, novelty, and humor. Surprise is more about the setup than the delivery. Because, you see, attention is hard to capture and even harder to hold. It's natural for our audience's attention to drift away, but there's a sequence leading to a surprise that can get it back. Here's how it works. Start the sequence by being boring on purpose and keep it short. Then immediately contrast the boring information you've given with new novel information. Doing it this way gives your audience something interesting to think about. It stimulates thought and regains their attention immediately. This is Everything Entrepreneur. I'm Oren Claff with Pitch Anything.
Ah. National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
This is Business Rockstar.
Hi, I'm Mark Black, CEO of Shorten the Gap, inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. Joining me is Stephanie McLean, the CEO and founder of Trendy Treat. And a topic that I want you and I to kind of dissect here is how an aspiring entrepreneur who's maybe stuck in their 9-to-5 and really, really, really wants to go out and start their own business, but they're struggling to cut the cord on their only source of income that allows them to live and pay their bills. What's that process look like to transitioning from the 9-to-5 that pays your bills to ultimately making the shift into your own business? Because it can be gruesome and challenging, but it can also be one of the most rewarding things somebody does. So what are some practical tips for somebody to cut the cord from their only source of income to going out and starting their own business?
I think setting up a schedule, when I was in high school, we used to call it a rhythm table, and probably allocating, because you have more time than you realize, maybe allocating 2 hours a day to your business. So say sometime when you'd be coming home and probably watching TV, say you're probably going to spend 2 hours of that time focused on starting your business. Now with so many digital communities that are available, I think it's easier than before. You can actually break down what you need to get this business going. And if you're earning an income and you don't have the time, you can actually hire people. So you can hire people on Upwork, Elance, all these other companies.
When you say hire people, though, people might think, I don't have the money to, I barely pay my bills or save up money. But I think you and I both know that it's actually pretty cost efficient and effective.
Right.
So what are some of the price points? Give us the range.
You can hire people for really cheap. Like you can get somebody for like $2 an hour in some
$2 an hour, right?
Yeah, there are people for as little as $2 an hour in some parts of the world. Another thing I would say is definitely like break the business down, figure out what you can outsource. Outsource those parts, create a budget, and you know, make the plan to pay people from that. Get a virtual assistant, because if you don't have a lot of time, a virtual assistant can do a lot of the things that you need to get done.
How much does a virtual assistant cost for people listening?
You can get somebody for under $100 a week.
Wow.
For a few hours, because I mean, if this isn't a business that you're devoting your full time to, you can get somebody for under $100 a week, and I mean, you can really see actionable results. You can get somebody to help with your social media, SEO. A lot of big companies are doing this where they're outsourcing. So, I mean, you as an entrepreneur should definitely adopt that approach as well. I think it's really helpful to get things going. And then I would say definitely Meetup and Facebook. Like, if it's a business that you're passionate about, create a community around it in your community. Like, use Facebook. Start a Facebook group. That is free.
So
and
meetups,
it doesn't take...
Facebook groups, surrounding yourself
Definitely.
With people that are on the path. I often tell people a lot of the times, right, is that if you have the job and you're trying to go from the 9 to 5, mm-hmm. if you can, make the transition into a job where your source of income is in the business realm or the industry of ultimately where you want to start your own business.
Right.
And if you can't leave your 9 to 5 job, maybe you can get an internship or maybe you can volunteer some of your part-time
right.
to go there and learn the inner works of the business model in the industry so that the transition becomes easier, essentially getting paid for your education in the space.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think that's definitely good because a lot of the times in life, it's not about what you know, it's who you know. So I think if you take a position that's in the industry that you're trying to be in, everybody knows somebody. So, I mean, if you're in the space that you want to be in, you can make invaluable connections and really propel your business further than it would have been if you were just trying to do it independently. Another option that's available is that there are lots of flex jobs out there now. People have, like, Lyft, Uber. Like, there are tons of other things that are out there that give you more flexibility than a traditional job would. So, I mean, if you're trying to bridge the gap, I think there's even a website called flexjobs.com where you can make the transition to work from home and still earn an income once your business starts like gaining momentum and starts generating revenue that you can kind of pick up some extra cash to pay the bills and keep the lights on.
What are your thoughts on allocating fundings? Because, you know, for aspiring entrepreneurs tuning in right now that are maybe paycheck to paycheck, barely mm-hmm. have enough money to, you know, survive, how can they ultimately save more funds? You know, I've heard the old saying, try to save 10% of your paycheck. What are some great tips you have for saving money that you can ultimately reinvest into your business?
I think get a financial planner. If you're serious about, and I know people think this is something for the uber wealthy, but there are companies out there like LearnVest that will connect you with somebody to kind of give you an overall. So if you are saying in the next year you want to start a business, talk to somebody. Their plans are really inexpensive. It's under $100. And they really help you.
$100 a month or $100?
Under $100 a month.
What?
No, it's way under $100. I think their cheapest okay. plan, I think they have a free plan, and there's one that's like $19, and the most expensive, like the deluxe one, might be like $99. But they have plans that are in between. But I think talk to somebody, or if you don't want to pay, go to like an entrepreneurship resource center and kind of be candid with them, or go to your bank and talk to them and say, you know, hey, let's have a financial planning session. This is what I make. This is what I have to spend. And this is where I'm trying to get to. Like, figure out what nest egg you need and probably add an extra 6 months onto that or at least an extra 3 months because sometimes you don't kind of catch the market like you plan. So, you know, everybody thinks they're going to start a product and it's going to be wildly successful and it's going to sell like a million, you know, in the first like 2 seconds or something. But for a lot of entrepreneurs, that's not the actual experience. So, I mean, whatever you're planning for, I would say give yourself a little extra cushion. And then sometimes things happen, like life happens and you have unexpected events.
What are your thoughts on crowdsourcing or crowdfunding for people who maybe have a product or an idea and they want mm-hmm. to raise some money for it through crowdsourcing or crowdfunding?
Crowdfunding, I've spoken to a couple of people who've had varied experience in this space. It seems like it's a tough cookie to crack because a lot of the, like, you'll see all these blog posts like, I just raised $20 million overnight on Kickstarter. I didn't do anything. I just put a campaign up. You know, for most people that I've spoke to who are, like, actual entrepreneurs in the trenches, that's not the experience that they've had. And then you also have to think about fulfilling the product and taxes. Because I think a lot of people don't factor in the tax factor and then advertising. So the people I know who personally had success on Kickstarter or like GoFundMe or one of those things, they've actually had to pump paid ads behind it. And then they allocated a big budget for that. And then they hired people to help them. So it's a cost incentive process. And then they were saying that by the time they fulfilled and then did taxes and the whole thing, it actually was not as lucrative. But on the plus side of it, though, it gave you an initial customer base and it gave you like initial kind of orders to get going. And it also put your business out to a huge network of people that would not have ordinarily known about your business. So, I mean, if you're looking at it purely from a monetary perspective, it may not be as lucrative as you'd like it to be, but from a business growth and long-term scalability perspective, maybe a great option.
Thanks for some great tips, Stephanie. I'm Mark Lack, CEO of Shorten the Gap. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, Call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it would take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-463-1749. 800-463-1749. That's 800-463-1749. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
BizTalkRadio.com.